Let me make sure this is on.
Bob, can you hear me? Okay. I want to start with that slide right there. What does the Bible teach us about things associated with the blood? We know that the blood was revealed as being connected with physical life from man's earliest existence. In Genesis 9:4, it says, "You shall not eat flesh with its life." That is, its blood. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the life." Blood was also associated with spiritual life. Hebrews 9:7 says, "But into the second only the high priest goes, but he once a year, and not without taking blood, which is offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people." In Hebrews 9:22 it says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Certainly, blood of sacrificial animals could not provide spiritual life, not in actuality. Hebrews 10:1-4 says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifice that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they have not ceased to be offered? Since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." We know the shedding of their blood was nonetheless required by God as a means of picturing for man the blood that could do so. That is, that could take away sin, which was forthcoming through God's only begotten Son. Hebrews 9:12-28. "He," Christ, "entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, which thus securing an eternal redemption." We know that Christ was the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who were called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. For where a will is involved, the death of one has to be made in order for it to be established. We know that. We make a will, hope we're not going to die real soon, but when we die, we want everybody to know what our wishes are and what we have and where to give it to. For where there is a will involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will does not take effect only at death, since it is not a force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled blood on the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything was purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Christ, however, has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Christ has appeared once for all, at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. But that second time will not deal with sin. It will to save those who eagerly await him. The blood of Jesus is essential for the remission of man's sins. Matthew 26:28 tells us that. It's essential for the sacrifice required by God's justice. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Hebrews 10:12 both say that. It's essential for man's sanctification, justification, and reconciliation. Romans 5:6 and Hebrews 1:3. And it is essential for washing away our sins. Revelations 1:12. We could find many more things that the blood is essential for. But it is essential, the nature of the blood of Jesus. And we will suffice with these for the study today. To begin with, what do we mean by associate? The word could be an associate, somebody you know, or it can be associate, something that is united in company or action and implies intimacy, equality, or close affinity. Thus, when one matter is associated with another, it demonstrates that the two are bonded together through some mutual association. This is true of persons, but also of objects and concepts. So looking to the blood of Christ, we find there are some things intimately connected with it. And understanding the essential nature of blood of Jesus to man's redemption, one must also be able to understand that those things which are intrinsically connected are likewise just as important. Let's notice three such things that closely associate the blood of Christ with Christ himself. The blood and the body. How are they associated? The body of Christ is the church of Christ. That's us. We're the church. This building is not the church. We are the church. So that blood is associated with us. There is one body. Ephesians 4:4 says that. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the hope that belongs to you. The prophets spoke of that body. Isaiah 2:2-4, Dan 2:36, and Joel all said something about it. Jesus promised to build it. Look at Matthew 16:18, where he said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Peter wasn't the rock. It was the belief that Christ was the Son of God. It was on Christ, the cornerstone of our church. Saved people were and are added to it daily. Acts 2:47. They were added then and they're still added today all around the world. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus. Acts 20:28. Being purchased by his blood, the church is thus closely associated with that blood. That association makes the body us. That was purchased by blood, just as essential as the blood itself. The scriptures bear out this truth. Those who obeyed the gospel were added to the body by the Lord himself, Acts 2:46. He is the Savior of this body, Ephesians 5:23. Thus, as an important point, he is the Savior of no other body. He is the Savior of no other body. Baptists, the Episcopals, the Catholics, and all the others cannot claim that the blood of Christ established their religions. Only the Church of Christ is the one that was established. Since his blood purchased the church, and he is the Savior of the church, adding as he does, those who are saved to it, the church, is just as essential in God's scheme as the blood that it purchased, How can anyone say that the blood of Jesus is essential, but the body, which is his blood, purchased, is not essential? The blood in the book, how are they associated? Jeremiah revealed that God would make a new covenant with his people. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The first covenant, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, was ratified with blood, as was read. The Hebrew writer stated that it was established with blood and that blood was sprinkled upon the book. When this was accomplished, Moses stated, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath joined unto you." Hebrews 9:20. The new covenant that God would make with man would likewise be ratified or established with the blood. The establishment of a testament or will demands the death of one who leaves it. Jesus stated that the blood is the blood of the New Testament. Matthew 26, 28. It was with his blood that he ratified or made the new covenant. Its institution rendered the Old Testament ineffective. Colossians 2, 14. As Jesus fulfilled it with his life and death, his new covenant, his will, his testament, was thus established as a better covenant, established upon better promises, having a far superior mediator. Hebrews 8, 13 through 16. With the Lord's death, the old was taken away as a binding covenant upon man, and the new was firmly established as the will by which man would be sanctified. Hebrews 10:10. Thus, his testament is just as essential to man as his blood. Man cannot be saved without faith. Hebrews 11:6. And faith comes through the hearing of obedience to the will of Christ. Hence, since God has intimately tied the will to the blood, the New Testament is just as important for man's redemption as the blood that purchased it. Therefore, those who proclaim humanity's need of the man and not the plan, woefully fail to see the inconsistencies of their thought. Third, the blood and water baptism. Well, we know how they're associated, but let's see what the scriptures have to say about that. The blood of the Lord was shed in his death. 10:19-34. John 19:34. Since it is his blood that cleanses us from sins, the question arises as to how man contacts this cleansing agent, this blood of Christ. Obviously, we cannot go back 2,000 years, okay, and find some blood on the ground. We can't travel at 6,000 miles to try to find it. No distance to Calvary or rolling around in the dirt over there is going to help us, okay? It cannot be done that way. Nothing can be done that way. You can try to inject it into your veins. You can try to drink it. You can't. But that's not what God said was the prescribed way of contacting the blood. It could literally, one could even try to bathe in it and it wouldn't do any good. But people think it can be. And you just have to look at them and say, no, The blood must be applied through God's prescribed means, or else it has not been applied at all. Today, men call on mankind to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Ask Jesus into your heart. Just pray the sinner's prayer, or some other concocted, unbiblical scheme in a vain attempt to obey God, what He has said, without doing what He has prescribed. In vain, people search the Scriptures for the passage that states that man's belief alone brings him in contact with the blood. The same is true of repentance and confession, both of which are required, but neither of which could bring one in contact with the saving agent, the blood of Christ. The only means by which this is accomplished is water baptism. We are baptized into His death, Romans 6, 3 through 4, where His blood was shed. This is the only way one can contact the blood of Jesus. And since the blood of our Lord has been forever tied to this obedient act, for the sinner, baptism becomes just as important as the blood, as it is the only means of contacting that blood. One speaks hypocritically who claims faith in the blood of Christ but denies the essentiality which is inherently associated with that blood. One can possibly truly claim, no one can possibly truly claim belief in the essential aspect of the blood of Christ without also claiming belief in the essentiality of the body of Christ, the church, which was purchased by the blood. No one can rightly hold to the belief in the necessity of the blood of Jesus who does not hold to the necessity of the New Testament, the book that was written. Christ spoke most of it. To those who wrote afterwards were inspired. The necessity of the New Testament in the book which His blood made reality. No one can truly maintain the absolute essentiality of the blood of Jesus for salvation while denying water baptism, the only means whereby the blood can be contacted and the sins thus be washed away and remitted, Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. That which is purchased by, obtained with, and made an avenue to the blood is every bit essential as the blood itself. God so associated the blood of Christ with the body, the book, and water baptism. If you're not a Christian, the question is, how does one contact the saving blood of Christ? Or if you find you need the prayers of the church, remember, one has to hear the gospel. One has to believe in Christ, the Son of God. One must repent of their sins. One must confess faith in Christ. And one must be baptized to become a Christian. But once you're a Christian, you're not without forgiveness every day of your life. You're not without that in reach. But without being a Christian, you are outside of that ability. Being part of the body, being part of the church, gives you a family that can pray for things that you need, pray for help that you need. Whether you have a need to be baptized or a need to ask for help, why don't you come forward while we stand and sing.